This is the third and last sermon in our series entitled Call of the Cross. Now, the first week, Pastor Eddie taught us that in order to have a truly fulfilling life as a Christian, you have to live completely countercultural to what the world says to do. The world says that you are to seek self-fulfillment, that it's all about you. The world is selfish. So you're supposed to look out for number one. You're supposed to acquire all that you can acquire because that's the road to happiness. But Jesus says no. The path to true happiness, real happiness and fulfillment is to deny yourself, pick up your cross daily, and follow him. So if you're like me, you might have been thinking, okay, Pastor, that sounds right. But that also sounds hard to do. And Pastor said, well, yes. Yes, it is. So the next week he came back and he taught us that the life that Christ is calling us to cannot be lived alone. He went to Scripture, and the Scripture was very clear and very simple when it says that we are to go to church, meaning join the disciples regularly, that we're to be baptized, and we're to share bread. That's the life that Jesus calls us to. It's a call to joyfully re-give ourselves daily to God's purposes for our life. He wants our lives, our time, our treasures, and our talents directed in ways that cause us to flourish. That's the call of the cross. You know, it's perfectly normal for anybody receiving the gospel message to wonder, well, if God calls disciples to pick up their cross, well, what's mine? And how will I know? And what am I supposed to do? Just drag it around? Or does God really want something specific from me? And I believe the answer to that question will bring us to today's message called What Are You Called For? Today's passage comes from 1 Peter 2:21. It says, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example you should follow in his steps. You know, if you take a poll, I think you would find that most people think of the term calling in a very narrow context. Callings are supposed to be for super Christians, you know, the religious teachers and pastors and missionaries and people like that. But, you know, that's really not true. It would be God's heart that all people would submit to the lordship of Christ and live their lives as Christ has modeled for us. You know, as disciples, we are called to be in deep relationship with him and to know him and to love him and to give our lives over in service to him. But what path does God want, and how can you find it, and then how do you follow it? Well, the story of Jonah offers us a glimpse of one, upon hearing God's call, chose to run the other way, and we know what happened to him. God kept calling until Jonah finally responded. You know, there are even those who were less reluctant than Jonah, but they still take some time to respond. If you remember the story of Samuel, Samuel failed to recognize his call at first, but God was patient and persistent until he could hear. You know, the truth is, whether your call comes in being knocked down by a horse, or in the Spirit's voice from a burning bush, or with an angelic enunciation, or just the stark quiet of a whispering wind, God calls each of us where we are, and he invites us to respond. So with that said, what are we called for? Well, first of all, God's call is for all of us to follow Christ and be the person he intends us to be. And to do that, it does start with denying yourself. And once you deny yourself, you need to come to repentance. And sometimes that's daily. In fact, most of the time, it's daily. Listen to what Brother Luke in chapter 5 says. Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but it's the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." You know, we constantly need to change our minds. Scripture says it's the renewing of our minds to be more like Jesus. There was an old song that we used to sing. Maybe you'll remember it. It went, "Change my heart. Change my heart, God." That's right. "Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you." Let that be the prayer of our hearts. He's the potter, and we're the clay. He molds, he makes, he shapes. Come to repentance. The second thing to do to be the person that Christ calls you to be is to live in holiness. You know, that's an old-fashioned word, and people don't really like to use that word that much, to be holy, to live holy. But 1 Thessalonians 4:7 says, "For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life." You're to be holy because God is holy. So what else? What else do we do to find our call in here? Well, like I said earlier, you're called to pick up your cross. And a big part of picking up your cross daily is answering the call on your life. But the trouble is, you can't follow him if you don't know where he wants you to go. And you know, as I said, I believe there's a lot of confusion around the word calling. You know, I think people have so spiritualized that word that you think that it applies to only Christians who end up in full-time pastoral ministry. You might even hear people say, "Well, when I was 18 years old, I heard the call." Well, amen. And it's true that some people are called to be employed by the church. But you know, for most, that's not the case. Maybe some are called to be ordained as elders and deacons. And by the way, in the next few weeks, we're going to celebrate that, and we're going to be ordaining our new deacons and elders. And that's fantastic. But that's only one call. Others are called for other types of church leadership. Some are called to teach. Some are called to be administrators. Some are called to be caretakers of our facilities. Some are called to be like these young men and lead us in worship. Some are called to be missionaries. Some of us are called to lead our children, the next generation. While others of us are called to be in the back providing technical support. The point is, family, a committed Christian faith means developing and using your natural talents, your developed skills, and your spiritual gifts to minister to the church and to the community. So let me stop here for a second and ask, do you know what spiritual gifts are? Raise your hand. Do you know what spiritual gifts are? Okay. Well, for those who don't and for those who do, I'm going to remind you. Spiritual gifts are abilities given to every believer, and they're unique to you. God loves you. And he designed you for his purpose. And you are called to develop your gift in order to build up, which means to serve, the body of Christ. And you know what? We're not complete without you, family. That's your part in answering the call. It's finding out who God has created you to be and your purpose. But you know, like everything in the Christian life, it's countercultural. You know, the cross is a symbol of suffering and pain and death. But through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, it becomes a place for us to have fellowship. You know, 1 Corinthians 1:9 said, "God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We can enjoy companionship with him, communion with him in prayer throughout the day because of the cross that we carry. Another thing about our cross that we carry, it allows us to have freedom. You know, you, my brothers and sisters, have been called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Galatians 5:13. We have freedom because of the cross. We don't have to be burdened by rules and other people's expectations or your own personality's perfectionisms. We can live exactly the way Christ has created us to be. You know, carrying your cross and answering your call allows you to have hope. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which you were called, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and the exceedingly great power for us who believe. Ephesians 1:18 and 19. We can respond with hope because of our cross, thankful for the possibilities of great things that to come in us and through us and with us. Another thing we can experience because of our cross is peace. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since you are members of one body, you are called to peace. And be thankful. Colossians 3:15. As far as we are able, we are called to live in peace. We don't have to be disharmonious. We can let it go. We can live in peace because of the cross. And that's a blessing. You know, if you've ever heard any of my testimony, and I've given it a lot over the years, so I never remember what parts I've told to whom, but I'll tell you that was one of the biggest pieces, the biggest ways that I'm most grateful to God is the peace that I have in my life because of him. Prior to knowing and living my life for God, I can only say that my head was full of noise. And I was one of those people, I couldn't even sit in a room quiet with my own thoughts. I always had to have the TV going or be on the phone or interacting. I couldn't sit quiet because of just the noise in my head. I don't know if that makes sense or if anybody can even identify with that. But knowing Christ has brought peace to me, and I would not trade that for love, money, nothing. I wouldn't trade it. The peace of God. If you don't know that, I invite you to trust him with your life. You know, as we do all these things, as we deny ourselves and we take up our cross daily, we follow in his footsteps. And when we're following in his footsteps, we're able to do good as Christ did. You know, listen to 1 Peter 2:20. It says, don't think you'll be rewarded or recognized or appreciated for the good things you do. Many times you'll be misunderstood, maligned, and taken for granted, just as Jesus was. There's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for you. But how is it credit, it says, if you receive a beating for wrongdoing and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. When you're following in his footsteps, you're to be a blessing. You don't have to argue. It's pointless. You're to bring benefit and encouragement and blessings to others. 1 Peter 3:9, finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessings. Because of this, you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. Walking with Jesus means being a blessing. And as Pastor Larry so eloquently reminded us this morning, we can do all these things because we're already victorious. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. We have victory over lust. We have victory over anger. We have victory over selfishness. Because of the empowering spirit of Jesus Christ, there is victory in Jesus this morning. And the last blank is, when you're walking with him, you're to receive an eternal inheritance. Hebrews 9:15, for this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. Family, we're to view our lives with eternity in mind. So we don't have to be upset. We don't have to be pressed because we know that there's victory and we know that there's life beyond. Remember, we're called to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So some of the things that I've said this morning may take some time. And it involves some work. And it involves consulting with those who know you well, who have a practical knowledge of what's involved. But you are called to find your purpose and your path and your calling. Prayer and Bible study will be an important part of you discerning the call in your life, as well as learning how to cope positively with conflict in your feelings. Be open to learn. Be open to listen. Be open to talk about what you think that the Lord is doing in your life. And realize that when you come against adversity or pushback, that it's okay. You're probably on the right path. Because remember, all calls are tested. If you're not being tested, you probably aren't on the right path. Be open. Let mature Christians speak into your life. If you have any questions and you are open to some spiritual direction in your life, I'd love to work with you and pray with you. Praying around the question, where is God in this for me? It takes some time. But nothing is more fulfilling than answering the call of God's purpose for your life. So remember, what are the three things we're supposed to do? Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and go. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the clarion call. It's clear. We are to pick up our cross. We are to follow. We're supposed to be loving and giving people, not people given to selfishness. We're called to serve your body and the community. Wow, God, you've given us an awesome responsibility. There's so many ways that you could have change the world. You could change the world in the blink of an eye with a wiggle of your little finger. But you've chosen to save the world through your Son, Jesus Christ, and through us. Help us to be tough enough to meet that challenge. We say this in your Son's name. Amen.